Welcome to Creative Warriors, a community of purpose-driven entrepreneurs, creative thinkers in business doing what we are meant to do. I'm your host, Jeffrey Shaw. Hey, Warriors, I am very excited to have Honoré Corder with us today. This is our special New Year's end of 2014 and welcome 2015 episode about goal setting and making the most of the year ahead. So welcome, Honoré.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
It's truly a pleasure. So let me tell you all a little bit more about Honoré. Honoré is the best-selling author of more than a dozen books, including her runaway hit, Vision to Reality, How Short-Term Massive Action Equals Long-Term Maximum Results. Honoré's book has quickly become a must-read. For over 15 years, she has passionately served professionals and entrepreneurs as their coach, their mentor, and strategic advisor. She empowers others to shed limiting beliefs, dream big, and go for what they truly want. Her mission is to inspire and motivate people to turn their vision and dreams into their real-life reality, sharing a leading-edge process she created for her executive coaching clients. Honoré's results-oriented philosophy and groundbreaking STMA 100-day coaching program has been embraced by people in a wide variety of industries and businesses to rave reviews and exceptional results. She's also the author of, and I love all this, The Successful Single Mom book series, The Successful Single Dad, Play to Pay, How to Market Your College-Bound Student-Athlete for Scholarship Money, Paying for College, How to Save 25 to 50% on Your Child's College Education, and If Divorce is a Game, These Are the Rules, 8 Rules Thriving Before, During, and After Divorce. So we have tons we could talk about, Honoré. You have covered every aspect of life.
Almost, just about, right?
Like I said, you hit on so many aspects of life. I just love it. But before you share your amazing insights with us, we want to know a little bit more about you personally. So what does a day off look like for a busy woman like you?
Oh, I just had one recently over the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday. So those are the days I love to curl up on the couch with tea or coffee, depending on the day, and read a book. So I have stacks of books, and I actually get people sending me their advanced reader copies. So I get to curl up and read books before everyone else does and do reviews of the books. And it's kind of my crack. I'm kind of a nerd for self-improvement and growth. So I read those. And then every so often I crack open a fiction book too. And I'm a nerd. So there you go. When I have time off, I read.
That's great. I love it. I can relate. So that's a perfect segue into my next question, which is one of my favorites to ask, is what's the best piece of advice you've ever received or a favorite book that you would offer to inspire us and why?
The best advice I've ever received is that playing small doesn't serve anyone, that no one's ever inspired by watching someone give up on their dreams. So don't do that. And one of my very favorite books ever is Law of Success by Napoleon Hill. So if you like Think and Grow Rich, or you haven't read Think and Grow Rich and you read it and you love it, then you will want Think and Grow Rich's Big Daddy, which is Law of Success. So it's like Think and Grow Rich, only much, much longer and much, much deeper. And it's one of my favorite books. I read it a few times a year also.
Wow. Isn't that the truth? That sometimes if you find that really great book, you read it over and over again.
Yes.
Love that. So as we head into the new year, I'm sure you can offer us some best practices and best tips for planning and goal setting for the coming year that would really help our community of warriors.
Yes, I can. So let me start with setting a vision for the year. So as you are cracking open the champagne and delighting yourself in your New Year's Day and possibly the day after that you're going to take off and read a good book, right? If you're a reading warrior, one of the things that you want to think about is how you want to be ending next year. So you start with the future vision first and have a really good time crafting the sounds and smells and sights of what the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016 looks like. Creating that vision in your mind and getting really connected to it from a full sensual perspective. So all of your sense combined, your senses. You said candle, and I went to scent.
I love it.
But the senses that we have, that we use, the clearer we can get in our vision and the more connected we can get to it, the easier that that vision is going to come into our reality. And then what I like to have people do is back into those goals by figuring out what needs to happen every single day. So if you want to make $365,000, let's make it easy, right? It's 1% per day would be $3,650. So every day you need to make that amount of money to make your goal at the end of the year. So you take it and you divide it by 365 and you figure out what your 1% is equal to. And then you multiply that times 100 days. And that's how I work with people, is 100-day increments. So you figure out what happens from January 1st to about April 10th, and you can track your progress every single day working into three specific goals. So I like two business, one personal, over a course of 100 days, and obviously making measurable progress every day toward that bigger vision that you have set in place for the end of the year. Does all that make sense?
It does. I'm actually really curious. I may understand why, but I'd like to hear your understanding. Like, why 100 days?
Well, I originally didn't like math. So I figured when I was first in corporate America 100 years ago, when people would talk about goal setting, they would talk about first Q of this year versus first Q of last year, quarter versus quarter. And then they would say, well, we want to grow second quarter over first quarter, but the quarters never had the same number of days in them. So it's really hard to pit 89 days versus 91 days. It's almost like when I'm looking at book sales, October has 31 days, but November only had 30 days. So in order to beat my numbers, I actually have to do better.
Right.
By 3%, right? So I like it to be easy. I wanted to know if I wanted to make $100,000 in 100 days, every single day was equal to $1,000. On day seven, if I have $7,000 that I've earned, then I'm on track. If I have $9,000, I'm 2% ahead. And if I have $5,000, I'm 2% behind. You always know where you are, and you don't have to do any complicated math.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So that's why. Yeah.
Is there also, it's funny, it actually reminds me of the way I do my weekly to-do list. Like, I don't like to so much assign things to the exact day. I like to look at it for the week so that you have some playroom, you know? So if you might have an idea what you want to get done on a Tuesday, but if it doesn't get done, it's not going to, you know, beat you up because you can be moved to Thursday. To me, the 100-day also has that notion in it as well, that it's a little flexible, so we're not driving ourselves with these really hard lines. Any truth to that?
There is truth to that, but it's also, I think anything can be achieved if you have the right plan, and then your actions, I call it your feet matching your lips. So what's coming out of your mouth? Oh, I want this. Well, then your feet better be moving. So the goal doesn't come if you're on the couch with the book reading. you have to be out there doing something. So yes, you have some room within the 100 days. And as a matter of fact, there's a cycle to the 100 days. And so when someone does a 100-day plan, very often they spend the first 25 to 45 days and they don't see any measurable progress. And that's because of lag time. So I always set it up that when someone is doing the 100 days, that they have to look at the fact that between day 43, which is our fourth session, and day 71, which is our sixth session, that's when the popcorn is going to start popping. So have you ever made popcorn on the stove?
Sure. Yeah.
You put the oil in the pot, you put the popcorn in the pot, you put the lid on the pot, you turn it up on high, and then you can vacuum for like 5 minutes, so I've heard. And nothing is happening in those 5 minutes, or is it? Actually, I think everything is happening because the pot is heating up so that the conditions become perfect, so that all of a sudden, when you go from minute five to minute seven, in those 2 minutes, the lid comes off the pot. If you've put enough popcorn in there, and you better be ready. I mean, as I tell my daughter, you got to be melting the butter, you got to have the bowls ready, you got to have the hot pad so that when the lid comes off the pot, now you've got the popcorn. But most people will think in those 5 minutes when they don't see or hear any noise happening, they don't see any results coming, they think nothing's happening, I quit. And they quit right before the water would have boiled, right before the popcorn would have started popping. So you also have to understand that you're going to do the work on Thursday because it didn't get done on Tuesday, but ultimately taking those actions is going to make the popcorn start popping. And then you get in the momentum phase, and that's where the fun starts to happen. You can be behind goal for the first 40, 50, 60 days sometimes, and all of a sudden, bam, you're at goal or ahead of goal,
right,
which is great.
Yeah, I find as a business coach, it's always something I have to explain to my clients that they can make the change in their life and in their business, but the universe hasn't caught up yet. You know, you just have to give it a little time. Yeah, and so I'm curious, you know, I'm doing the math, and I'm pretty simplistic when it comes to math. So there's 365 days in a year. So we have three groups of 100, and then we have a 65, but, or does the 100 go into the next year? And I'll explain why I'm asking the question later, but so what happens to that last 100 days?
Well, actually, when I am working with someone, I suggest that they do three 100 days, and it looks like in a perfect world, and nothing is ever perfect, but I have a few clients on this schedule where they start at the beginning of January. So let's say our first session would be January the 5th, which will take us about to April 15th or so, give or take. And then they take a 2-week break because we're talking every 2 weeks during those 100 days. So they'll start again end of April, beginning of May, and then we're going to go to the beginning of August. Well, what do you do in August? Nothing.
Vacation, hopefully.
Vacation, baby. So we're going to take off until after the holiday, after Labor Day. Or is it Memorial Day? Memorial Day's in May, right?
Yeah,
so Labor Day.
Labor Day.
And then we come right back, the beginning of September, and that takes us through the beginning of December. So we go beginning of September to like the end of the first week of December, and that's the end of the 100 days. What do you do in December?
Holidays, yep.
Holidays, and then we come right back the next year. So there's 65 days in there pretty much that we're not working in our business. We're kind of letting the results of those purposeful, intentional focus times carry the weight of the rest of the year. It's not that they're not working. It's that they're out of the process to give themselves room to refresh, relax, renew, get excited again. If you're always in the pressure cooker, then when do you get excited about the pressure cooker?
Yeah, I love that, actually. And I'll tell you why I asked the question in a moment, although I like your answer better than what was on my mind, because what you're offering is some space. And I think that's really, really valuable to just let things ruminate a little bit. But the reason I asked is I have to admit, I have a bit of a pet peeve with the whole end of the year, December 31st, and bang, January 1st is a whole new me, you know?
Yes.
So what I thought was, gee, maybe the 100 days is four chunks of 100, and that last chunk goes into the next year. So if that not being the case, how can we address for a smoother transition? Because I think it's such a harsh transition between December 31st and January 1st. And, you know, what didn't go well the previous year, we closed the door on December 31st and we wake up all renewed, which is a nice in thought, but it always seems so severe and it doesn't allow for sustainability.
I call BS on all that, actually. I'm totally with you because it isn't a hard stop. And then voila, I now eat broccoli and chicken, whereas before I was eating pumpkin pie the whole year. It doesn't quite work like that.
Right.
But people act like, oh, this is a fresh, shiny new year. And it is in some ways because it's a mental fresh start. But I think what people don't take advantage of is the running start they can get on any period after a break. So whether that period is spring break, summer break, an illness, right? The death of someone where you've had a time away from the business where you're not in the flow, not in the zone, and you can come back. There are several things that someone can do so that on the first working day of the year, which in 2015 is January the 5th, so coming up just a few days, what are the things that you can do to prepare for that? If you are still working, then one of the things you can do is not give yourself so much of a buffer time on that Monday morning. Because what a lot of people will do is go, oh, I don't want to schedule anything January the 5th because I'm going to have all those emails. I'm going to have all those calls I have to return, blah, 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 right? So they give themselves a non-urgent day. And then they wonder why they go into the office at 8 or 9 or 10 in the morning. And then 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, they go, gosh, you know, if they're working from home, they haven't showered. If they're going to the office, they've showered, but they haven't eaten and they haven't made any progress on anything. And all of a sudden, the first day of the year gone, also known as 1%. Right?
Yep.
1% of 100 days. So what I suggest that they do is set a meeting for 10 o'clock, whether it's a meeting with their assistant or depending on what their business is, showing of a house or meeting with a client. So for us, business coaches, coaching client. I have a coaching client on Monday at 9 a.m. ready. She's ready for her year. I have one at 10 o'clock. So there's no like easing back into the beach. We're not going into the beach water, we're doing a cannonball into the deep end of the pool, right?
Yep.
It's like the Band-Aid's coming off. really quickly. And so that's one strategy that's really effective for people, getting people back into motion, is to actually get them into motion. So get your calendar backed up already so that you have something to do and every single minute is scheduled. So you don't have those times where you're like, oh, I don't really have anything to do. What should I do? Gosh, I think I'll do nothing. Because that's what happens. Nothing is the, you know, can be equated to checking email or standing at the water cooler and chatting with someone or spending time on Facebook or, gosh, we're going to have the after Christmas sales, right, that are going to be predominant for the next couple of weeks, you know, clearance and those kinds of things. It's easy to cyber shop, you know, so I've heard. I don't know anything about that myself personally, but.
I think it's a great idea. I start planning out the next year by the end of November. And that's how I work with my coaching clients, so that there's already this transition. I try to smooth out the transition. You know, it's always been a bit of a challenge because I like the idea of a fresh start. I think it sounds great, but I think it can also be a setup for, you know, just like that person that says, I'm going to, you know, start going to the gym on Monday after New Year's. It's just too sharp of a line. So that's why I like the way you move the timeline afterwards, after the first of the year, so you get right back into action. And then I actually move the timeline forward so that we start talking about the next year well more than a month early, so that the transition is already in place. So maybe it's a little bit of both. I like that idea.
Well, I think you can always be looking backwards to see what your lessons are while you're looking forward to plan. And so I go into planning mode, right? So it's 2015 has already been in play for a few weeks for me, because I'm doing the end of November, beginning of December planning as well, looking at, okay, so what do I want the next year to look like? Before I get into the next year, I like to get that running start. But I also then too am ending up these 100 days, you know, the beginning of December, and then I'm taking that time off with my family. So I go into full on hibernation mode, because, you know, as coaches, people come to us to plug in. Mm-hmm. And the power plant needs to regenerate as well. Sure. But I already have my eye on 2015, you know, as of several weeks by now. I'm already doing that visualization. I already have my revenue number that I'm going for, my number of clients, how many books I'm going to write, how many pages I'm going to write every day. All those things, I've already outlined those, and they're manifesting, you know, kind of germinating in my mind.
So do you start with, I'm kind of curious how globally, because I agree with you, I start from the moment 1 year begins, I already start the list for the next year based on my current experiences. So in January of 2015, I might have a moment like, oh gosh, I wish I did that differently. I'll do that differently in 2016. So I have a running list from the beginning of a year for the next year. In fact, at least a year. I think I already have a list going for 2017. So I'm just curious, how globally do you think in terms of goal? And then how finite, how detailed do you get with your goal setting?
Well, I do a 5-year plan, and I'm 4 years into a 5-year plan at the moment. But I was recently asked to do a 5-year vision. So I thought, okay, well, what the heck, right? Before you get to the moon, you set another destination, lest you get bored, of course. And so I was looking at what's my 2019-2020 vision, which I think is kind of fun. What's your 2020 vision? And so putting into play, gosh, what do I want my life to look like by 2020? So I go that far into the future. And the best advice I think I can pass on is that someone said, whatever you think, add a zero. Whatever you want, make it bigger.
Exactly. So that's actually another question I had for you, which is, do you think most people set themselves up for failure by setting their goals too high, or not setting their goals high enough and not living up to their full potential?
Both. I think people set really high goals for tomorrow. They say, you know, it's the beginning of the year, so you know what? I have been trying to lose 50 pounds or 30 pounds or 100 pounds for the last 20 years, and I'm going to get this off by April 1st. So I am not going to cheat. I am going to deprive myself. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to, right? And they over project what they can do in a shorter period of time. On the flip side, I think what you can achieve in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years is much more than you think is possible. So it's conservatively setting the goal for what it is you think you can do in the next 10 minutes, but it's massively setting a goal for yourself over the next 10 years. Because 10 years ago, the goals that I was setting, if I were to set what I've actually achieved, those would have been humongous goals for me. I had no idea what was possible for me. I kept working on it and kept chipping away and kept expanding my prosperity consciousness and my belief of what was possible for me. And so as I've done that, I've achieved far more than I thought was possible 10 years ago.
You know, Honoré, I have to say, you just gave one of the wisest insights about goal setting I've ever heard. And because I think you're absolutely right. I think most people make the next day, tomorrow's goals, too big to achieve, and they don't think big enough for the five-year goals. That is so perfectly said, and I wanted to repeat it so that all the warriors heard that, because I think that's one of the most insightful things I've heard about goal setting, and I think you're absolutely right. So what we can do is turn that around, right? We can maybe make our goals tomorrow a little more manageable, but I absolutely agree with you. We need to think bigger in our 5 and 10 years, because like you, I would never have thought of to put on a piece of paper as a goal where my life is at now.
Oh, no, it never even occurred to me.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I was not an author. 10 years ago, I didn't make the money that I'm making. 10 years ago, I wasn't married to my current awesome husband. 10 years ago, my entire life that I live now, that I wake up every day and go, oh my gosh, this is still real, best I can tell. Right? This is not even anything that I could have dreamed up. So I think that whatever you think you want, go as big as you can possibly go. Because gosh, what if you get 80% of the way there? What if you say, you know, I want to own, you know, England. Right? Okay, maybe that's not going to happen. But in your pursuit of owning England, you could get somewhere.
Yeah, I love it. So I have a practical question for you, because I'm a technology geek. So do you have any favorite apps or anything that you use for goal setting or accountability?
I use my FitnessPal to record calories, just kind of as a, do you really want to write that down? kind of a thing. I'm constantly got an iPhone 6 recently, and I'm madly in love with it. Bigger screen, the whole thing. I'm a total Apple freak. As far as productivity, no, not so much. I used to use Strive, but I don't use that so much. But as I can flip through my phone and just see there, I use social media apps constantly to stay in touch. No, not as far as productivity.
Okay, curious.
Probably it'll come to me after.
Right, of course. I use Evernote for the broadest, and Evernote is just so popular, but I use Evernote for the broadest of goal setting, which I love because it's always with you on every device. I use an app for daily or weekly tasks. I use an app called To-Do. I was just kind of curious. I'm always looking for the newest and the latest technology, not only for goal setting, but like I said, for accountability. And I think we're seeing a lot of technology started to change in that direction. Like there are apps that, have your text reminders, like, did you run today? Did you do this today? Or did you get that done? And I think that's, I like to say it's like a coach in your pocket. I think that can be really helpful.
I used to use Lyft.
Yes.
But I honestly, like, I have my own, I don't want to use the word accounting because that's the wrong word and I don't like accounting, but I use my own tools that I've created for my clients to keep myself on track. And so I found that there, you can have too much accountability where everything's popping up and yelling at you all day. So I had to kind of downsize. But I will say Evernote is one of my favorites, and I've seen a lot of people resistant to using Evernote. So there's a great book called Master Evernote. And it's like $3, and it's either by S.J. Scott or Steve Scott. And I sat down during one of my days off, one of my geek times, and I went through that book with a fine-tooth comb with Evernote open and instituted every single tool and strategy and step that he suggested. And it's literally made my life so much easier, because now I just put everything in Evernote, so I don't have to think about where it might be. It just automatically goes into my folders and my notebooks, and it's fantastic.
Fantastic. I wasn't aware of the book. So that's a given. We'll make sure the link is available. However people can find that book, we'll find it and we'll make it available so that they can get it too. Cause I'm not familiar with it. So that sounds awesome.
It's a fantastic tool. It tells you things about Evernote you might not even know exist. that it does as far as functionality.
Right.
So it's kind of like a shut the front door. That's awesome. I didn't know it could do that.
Awesome. I'm sure of it, like most technology. So I also want to ask you, you talk about short-term massive action, which I love the term. Can you explain what that is and why it's important to us?
Sure. So short-term massive action is a shorter period of time where you take massive action as opposed to the longer period of time where you think, ah, I got this. So we're just talking about going into the new year and how we have 365 days. That's a really long time. That comes with it no urgency. If you give me a year to do something, I'm going to do it in November.
Right.
I'm going to wait. So when I was thinking for myself years ago, so the 100-day program really was written for me, as I mentioned, because I didn't like math. I wanted something that was longer than 30 days because, as we discussed, it takes longer than 30 days to get into momentum. But having 365 days means that after about the 14th day of something, your enthusiasm wears off if it lasts even 14 days. Right? I can do something for a few days, but eventually willpower doesn't last. So one of the things that I thought that I would try for myself, and as it turns out, it's been wonderful for me and for my clients, is working in 100 days. Because 100 days is that shorter term where you can take massive action, and it's a long enough time to see results, but not so long you lose urgency. And also not so long that you are pursuing something that may not work out. Because sometimes you do something for a minute and you realize, this doesn't have the right energy for me. This doesn't have the right return on investment for me. I need to switch horses. I need to change lanes. I need to change planes. I need to make a change. So you're not stuck in something. When you say I'm going to do something for an entire year, then you don't really assess whether you're going in the right direction soon enough.
Yeah, well said. So another thing I've read about you is I really like your attitude about money, and it's related to our conversation about goal setting. But what I like about your attitude about money is that it's very real. I mean, you don't make money the most important thing, but you don't ignore the fact that it takes money in abundance to create the life you want. So instead of money being the focus, creating the life you want is the focus. So tell us more about that, because I think that's such a healthy view about money and creating the life that you want.
Well, money is a tool. Money is energy. Money allows you to do the things that you want to do. And so I've watched so many people who either have money and no time or no freedom. And I've seen people with lots of time and no money, therefore no freedom. And I wanted to be somewhere in the middle with lots of money and lots of time and lots of freedom. And that's what I want to help people to create. And so the first thing that they have to do is get really happy about money and recognize that it is energy and it is a tool, that it's not this thing that's evil, right? Or to be hidden from or not talked about. If you want something to love you, you have to love it back, but not in the way that you are serving it. You want it to serve you. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Very well said. I love that. So one of the other areas of specialty, of your specialty, that I wanted to touch on was a divorce, single moms and single dads. I take it this must come from personal experience. You've written a whole book series about it.
Yes, yes. So I was divorced at, 32. And I had a small child at the time. So my daughter was 2 as I was separating and 3 or 4 when I was officially divorced. And I didn't realize that there was a stigma for single moms until I noticed that people would say, well, tell me about your husband. And I would say, oh, actually, I'm not married. And they knew I had a daughter. And there would be this, this pity that would come over them, as opposed to, wow, that's amazing. You're doing it all, baby. Rock on. I thought, why is that? Why is it like the scarlet letter? Why is it there, the stigma? And as I was getting remarried, I was watching an Oprah show and she did a makeover of a single mom. And she said, oh, of course she's a schlumpadinka, someone who doesn't look good or feel good about herself. She's a single mom. Single moms take care of everyone but themselves. And I thought, the heck you say?
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty fabulous. Why is that the assumption? And yet I had gone through my own period of low self-esteem, head noise, not so great personal behavior, not taking care of myself, and buying into that nonsense that single moms were to be pitied instead of revered and put on a pedestal. And I thought, well, you know, the only way to change something is to change it in the best way that you can. And so I wrote The Successful Single Mom, and then I wrote another book in the series. And then I started having dads say, you know, I'm reading your book, I'm pretending it's not pink, and everywhere that it says mom, it says dad. Is there going to be a book for me? And for a long time, I said, no, I have the wrong jewelry. I can't write a book for dads. I'm not a dad. And then I realized I could interview dads and change the mom stories with the dad stories, because it's a coaching book. It's a book about getting your life back and your game on after you become a single mom, whether that's because you've been divorced, you broke up with your baby daddy, right? Or your spouse passed away. My daughter's godmother, her husband died and left her as a single mom. So you can become a single mom even by choice, right? Sandra Bullock said, heck, I'm going to adopt a kid. But you end up, at the day you become a single mom, you're like, oh, holy crap, what just happened? What do I do? And then there can be some negative self-talk that goes on. And so I wanted to just wipe that nonsense out myself. And so I wrote the Single Dad book. And then I left the single mom alone for a while. I didn't abandon the single moms, but I kind of got back to business, if that makes sense. I was like, okay, I wrote that book. Yay, it's out in the world. And it just had took on a life of its own. And then this year, I wrote the book, If Divorce is a Game, These Are the Rules, because a lot of people get divorced with no kids, and they don't play nice with each other, and they hold grudges for a really long time. And I wanted to put a stop to that nonsense too. So I wrote a book that I hope is affecting positively the way people go through divorce, because whether we're meant to stay together forever or not is not the question, right? It's not whether we're built to mate for life. The question is, when you decide to unmate, how do you treat the person that you used to be in love with? And how do you treat yourself through that process? And so that's what that book is about.
Awesome. Beautifully said. So we bring this part of our interview to a close. What advice can you give? I mean, it's the end of December, just entering into the new year. Any thoughts to kind of wrap it up as to how people might start off their next year the best way possible?
Yes, I have two quick suggestions. One is to fill yourself up with positive expectation for the new year, and then fill yourself up with positive expectation every single day. So when you wake up, fill yourself up with positive expectation. And you might say, how? How would I do that? Well, thank you for asking. I suggest that you read the book, The Miracle Morning, which I did not write. I wish that I had. The book, The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. Hal is now a great friend of mine and actually one of my business partners in the Miracle Morning book series. But the original book is a process for getting yourself ready for the day before you ever come in contact with another human being. So it's the best practices of the most successful people in the world distilled down into a daily practice that anyone can do to set themselves up to win and fill themselves full of positive expectation every single day. So I recommend that in these last few hours of the year that you download that book, that you order it on Amazon Prime, and you drink it like a tall glass of iced tea on a hot Texas day as quick as you possibly can, because that can literally and radically change the year that you are about to have.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you for that treat. I'm going to incorporate that. I have my own practices, but I'm going to try the book. That's awesome. So, Honoré, in a moment, I'm going to ask you our discovery round questions. But while you're preparing yourself for these thought-provoking questions, we're going to hear a special message, and we'll be right back. If you're in business doing something you're truly passionate about, my new training and coaching program, The Creative Warrior Unleashed, will rock your world. The Creative Warrior Unleashed is a 7-week program where you overcome the 7 core conflicts that stop creative entrepreneurs in their tracks. I know this journey. I've lived it myself. These are the 7 conflicts that are common amongst creative thinkers and must be overcome to achieve your highest level of success. You'll learn why your so-called lack of focus is your greatest asset, how to create more flow in your business so that being in business is easier than you ever imagined, how to create a clear brand identity so that you are easily found by your perfect clients, and create a diversified business that excites you and rewards you with multiple streams of income. In just 7 weeks, you can gain the clarity that you need for your business success. Simply go to creativewarriorunleashed.com to find out when the next 7-week program begins. The Creative Warrior Unleashed, the path to success for the creative warrior. Check it out, creativewarriorunleashed.com. All right, Honoré, time for our discovery round questions. First question, what drives you crazy?
What drives me crazy? Apathy. People not caring about other people.
Looking back, what's something that you can't believe you did for your career?
You know what? Bend my personal rules when put on the spot. Sometimes I compromise. I don't do that anymore. Like old Honoré would be put on the spot by someone and I would feel pressured into doing something. New Honoré doesn't do that.
Now, clearly you have created a great deal of diversity in your life and in all your interests. Is there something in common in everything that inspires you?
My underlying driving force for everything that I do is wanting to help people and save them hurt and anguish and also to get the most out of their life.
Last question is, imagine you are sitting around a campfire and out of the darkness appears your greatest enemy, which does not have to be a person. What inner warrior inside yourself do you call upon and why?
I'm going to have to go with the big person response on this one and say love, because I think love can change anything. I'm not for sure that in that moment I would do it, but that's what I'm going to say right now.
What more could you ask for? That's fantastic. So, Honoré, thank you for wrapping up 2014 for us and setting the stage right for 2015. We as a community of creative warriors really appreciate your being here.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. What a delightful conversation. I hope you and all of your listeners have the best year that they've ever had so far.
I'm with you on that. So that's it for now, warriors. Do have a fantastic 2015. Let's go out, create, serve, and be prosperous.